Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, a book of miraculous stories and examples of energy healing, afterlife communication, and support for awakening to the possibilities of our unlimited potential for creating our most healthy, purposeful, and prosperous life journey by using the universal laws of energy and applying them to everyday life experiences. Today, I welcome Betty Andreasen and Bob Lucas, who is the main character in Raymond Fowler's book, The Andreasen Affair. Raymond Fowler is an abductee, an international authority on UFOs, and has served as director of investigations for the Mutual UFO Network and scientific associate for the Center for UFO Studies. Hello, Betty and Bob.
Hello, Cheryl.
And thank you for having us on your show.
It's great to have you, and we're going to have so many interesting things to talk about today.
Okay.
Betty, Betty and Bob, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I explore the metaphysical aspects of life, looking within the seen and unseen dimensions of energy for the possibilities of knowing ourselves and the universe in a more intimate and honest way. Things are not always as they seem, and I believe that whatever the mind perceives is a reality on some level or dimension of life. So by keeping an open mind and heart, we can go beyond our sensory view of life and connect energetically to many new life forces. And that's what we will be discussing today in your experiences. So in today's episode of Healing From Within, Betty and Bob will share their stories of being abducted by aliens and present definitive evidence and testimony about the event that was written about in the book. She has contributed original drawings of what she saw, and an intensive year-long investigation of Betty's abduction was conducted for the Center for UFO Studies, involving, among other things, the recording of extensive testimony given under hypnosis, lie detector testing of witnesses, exhaustive comparison with other such accounts, and Betty shares her physical and emotional ordeal and the long-term effects on her life. Betty and Bob, I often ask my guests to think back to an experience or memory from childhood, as I feel we come to this life with a life plan and a destiny, and sometimes become aware of our interests, goals, and deepest values very early on in life. So what memory comes to mind about childhood?
Oh, well, you know, that is really something, because both Bob and I have had a childhood experience. What's very strange is I was married before, and I'm now married to Bob, my second husband. And what is so strange, Cheryl, is that we've had three different, we've had much more encounters, but three different encounters that as a child. In 1944, Bob and I had a childhood experience. However, I lived in Massachusetts, and he lived in Connecticut. And then also, we had another experience, which was our adult experience. And again, he lived in Connecticut, and I lived in Massachusetts. We did not know each other, but this was in 1967. We both had an encounter. And then after we did meet and we did get married, we had another encounter together where the whole family was taken up. And I forget exactly, I think it was in the 1978 that we had. So that's three encounters that we've had at the same time. Of not the same month, but the same year.
Do you think these visitors actually brought you together?
Oh, definitely.
When you were children or later when you were adults?
Later when we were adults. Now, I didn't know Bob at all until later in my life. And that was after I went through the 1967 encounter, and so many things happened. I was down in Florida at my sister's house, and I was trying to purchase a smaller home, and I got a job while I was waiting for the papers to go through. And Bob had come cross country, he'll tell you about it also, and to a friend's house, his friend's sister's house, and the thing was, that's when we met, and it, you know, it was very strange how things work.
You know what I'd like to think? I'm an intuitive, and I do energy healing, and also receive and download messages for people from spirit, from higher energy. And I would sort of like to feel that these loving beings that you met along the way, sort of like parents, know what's good in a way and are guiding you forward and maybe brought you together.
I believe it is a
good possibility. But let's go on now to telling us something about your abduction. When did it happen? Where were you living? And did you receive any explanation from these beings about why you were selected?
Well, it was 1967, and my mother and father were staying with me because my first husband was in the hospital. He had had an accident, and I have seven children, so they decided they'd come and help me out. And in that 1967, we were all in my home in South Ashburnham, Massachusetts. The television was going, it was evening, and all of a sudden the power went out, and a reddish-orange light started streaming through the pantry window into the living room. My father, without me knowing, rushed past me and went out into the pantry area, and I told the kids, "I'll be quiet and sit still now. It must be either a fire truck or the police out there, and I'm going to go check." And when I went out into the kitchen, it was then I was very stunned because I saw five beings entering my home into the kitchen right through the wooden door.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happened, when they were standing there, you know, at first there was a jolt of fear, but then scripture went into my mind, "Entertain the strangers, for it may be angels unaware," because I thought, well, you know, even though they didn't look like angel pictures that you see, the thing is they came right through the door. So
they were energy, pure energy.
Yes.
And one would think that, yes, angels might not be quite as what we expect.
They can appear physically because they were there physically, and we did exchange books at one point, so he was physical. I could tell he was physical.
You gave him a Bible, and he, yes. I know in the story, handed you a blue book.
A small, thin blue book, yes.
And what was in that book?
Well, I was given it for 10 days to see as much as I could understand about it, the pictures, the writings. But what happened, Cheryl, was my daughter came to me about 3 or 4 days after, and she says, "Mommy, I've been having," and that was Becky, and she says, "I've been having a dream of strange people in our house," you know, and she felt a little fearful over it. So I had taken that thin blue book and put it in my closet up on the shelf, and I thought, uh-oh, I better let her know it happened. But I told her not to say too much because I didn't want the other children to become afraid because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I took her into my bedroom, and I was not supposed to show her it. But you know how a mother is when your child is so upset.
Yes, you want to give them facts. You want to give them, you know,
the truth.
Valid.
Yeah.
Station. Yes.
Exactly. And so anyways, I took the thin blue book out, and I says they were here because they had taken her out of a state of suspended animation so that the beings would assure me my family was all right, and yet Becky was able to see, but she was not able to move during that time with the rest of my family on the couch there. So I brought her into
let's,
my bedroom.
Let's make this clear. So the family was in a state of suspended animation.
Yes.
And your daughter, one of the children, came out of it, and your oldest, and saw Ansura, these beings, and you were alert, and you were not in a state of animation.
No.
And tell us what happened next.
Well, at that point, at first they had said they wanted knowledge tried by fire. That's why I was in the living room. I brought them in there, and I thought of the Bible. I passed the Bible to the leader. He stretched out his hand, and I could see the three fingers that he had. And he held it in his hand, and he waved it at the hand over it, and three thin books appeared, and he passed them to the three beings that were beside him. They held them in their hand, and the pages flipped by all on their own, and it was like bright white light, and it looked as if they were consuming whatever was there with their eyes. Of course, we know by the Word of God, you know, the angels even desire to know what God is thinking and going to be doing. And so they had that interest, evidently.
Absolutely. But so they told you they didn't live by food, but by fire or knowledge. And
right.
They were absorbers of knowledge.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And so then after, as I said, this was way after that Becky had come to me, after the experience had happened, and she told me she kept on having a dream about these beings being in the house, and she was afraid of them because they looked peculiar. And who are we to tell what God is going to create as an angel? You know,
well,
we have pictures with the wings.
When you think about it, I mean, look, we have dogs and cats and so many different breeds so many types, and we have so many people, and everyone looks different and is unique. And what we need to be learning is not to judge just by our senses, but to go within to our sense of empathy and love, and give everybody a chance to share their wisdom and their knowledge and their uniqueness with us. So, yes, I understand the fear, because I had an experience myself.
Oh.
I have not much religious training, but I wrote two books, Life is No Coincidence and The Living Spirit. And I share how, as a skeptic and uninvolved person with spiritual matters and no real belief in the afterlife and otherworldly forces, that one night I had a dream, just like your daughter was dreaming of these beings, and I felt my grandfather, who had been dead for 30 years, standing right by my side, and I couldn't hear him, but I knew he was saying to me telepathically, you have to write something for your father. And the next day I received a call from my mom that my father had passed.
Oh,
so I wrote his eulogy. But more than that, I began to search and learn about metaphysical concepts, spirit communication, and that anything that had not been previously in my conscious awareness, because there's so much we know within ourselves, in our subconscious.
True.
So it wasn't a dream, but a spiritual visitation. So now I knew that communication between different energy realms and life forces is definitely possible.
Oh, yes, it is.
And that's what we're talking about here today.
Mm-hmm.
The possibilities that some people have experienced and others have not yet. But they will. Reality and truth is reality and truth, and it will happen. And for our listeners, I also did a show recently interviewing Professor Ted Peters, author of UFOs, God's Chariots, which is very much in tune with what we're discussing today. So if you go to the archive shows on the radio page of my website, CherylGlick.com, you will have validation and personal evidence of the events we are discussing today. Now, did you see more than one type of being at that time?
No, they were all the same. They were dressed in blue uniforms, had a belt and a sash across their chest, and they had an insignia like a eagle on the arm of the suit they had on. And they had strange-looking boots, big boots on. But to get back to where Becky, I was showing her the thin book, I brought her into my bedroom, and I took it down. I said, you know, honey, I'm not supposed to show anybody this, so don't say anything, will you? And she touched the cover of the book. And when she lifted her hand off, There was all sorts of sparkles. I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Sparkles.
But there were all sorts of sparkles. And ever since then, Becky has been able to write in a strange language. She also has had encounters. It seems as if families, when one of the parents have an encounter, a UFO encounter, it carries through to one and maybe 3 to 4 or 5 of the children to have experiences as well.
Well, perhaps these visitors come to a family that's open and receptive and intuitive. And yes, where one will have that in the family, others will have those gifts, those spiritual gifts also.
Yes.
So it stands to reason. Now, I know they took you on the ship because I read your book quite thoroughly. I mean, I read Raymond Fowler's book quite thoroughly, where he describes...
He's excellent. I was told that he was groomed to write about the UFO phenomena.
By these beings.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We all have gifts, and we can share what, however we can in our own way, the wonderment and awe of knowledge and truth beyond what we can know in this physical realm. So they took you on board. Now, what I was concerned about was, I know they did some things to you physically. You want to tell us about that and why?
They first said that the leader, whose name was Quasgar, said that he was just going to measure me for light, you know, and that was it. But when they waved the thing over me, they said, he said he is going to have to measure me further because something about in the back of my knee, I don't know what it was about the back of my knee, but evidently it didn't show light, and I insisted I had light within me. And at that point...
Maybe you had had an injury. And they wanted to check for that.
It could be because of the fact being my right knee does bother me and has for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. But then at that point, yes, he wanted to do other examinations, and he took a needle and he thrust it in my navel. And he put his hand on my forehead to take away a great deal of the pain. A little did I know, Cheryl, that I had an experience at 13 years old. Now, that's quite a few many years from 13.
Before this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I had an implant put in. And this is what he had taken out of my left nostril. It was a BB-like device, like at the end, with little tiny points on it. And after that, he continued the examination, and he put a needle into my navel, and he was checking me for procreation. And he stopped because they pulled out some kind of a weaved cloth, and were looking at it on a roll, and as if something was missing. And he said something was missing. And the only thing I could think of is I had had a hysterectomy, not long before.
So they were right. So there was a missing uterus, and they could sense that from their exam. But let me get back. I'm interested in, you said they took something out of your nose, which was some type of little device that you think was given to you by them when you were only 13?
Yes.
And this was many years.
I did not know it.
You didn't know.
I did not know it until I underwent regressive hypnosis and the entire information.
Okay, so.
Our subconscious collects everything that's around us. Everything that you go through, everything that you've heard, everything that everybody speaks. Your subconscious is gathering all that information in your mind. You wonder, well, how can that possibly fit all in your mind your whole life, you know, what was going on?
It's like we're like computers. I mean, a computer can hold just infinite information, and obviously so can we. And but we don't always, we can't always access it from our conscious mind, but we can from our unconscious being or our soul.
Remembered a portion of it. What happened, Cheryl, was this was years later that I happened to pick up a local small newspaper, and I read where a Dr. J. Allen Hynek was looking for any information that was strange or unusual in the sky, and I thought, now I can try and find out what that one being. I only remembered one being, and I knew what he looked like, and I knew he had been in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, I sent that information to Dr. Hynek, And instead, he put it away in his files for over 3 years until a group of people wanting to look into any hybrid type.
Children who may have been partially human and
right.
of this other source.
Right.
Yeah, tell us something about that.
Well, what happened was,
do you think any of your children were hybrid?
You mean us being a hybrid?
No, I mean you have seven children.
Yes, I have seven children. And the thing is I wondered lately, because we are doing a book together, Bob and I. It's called Lifting the Veil, and I'm putting in a summary of most of all the experiences we've had, but other things, too, because I've had another experience before the one. And the thing is, recently when I was putting information in there, I was thinking, well, he said that there was something missing, and I thought, don't tell me the hysterectomy I had, that it could have possibly been a hybrid child. That kind of scared me. I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about
it. Or maybe there was a child that was a hybrid that they removed.
That's true.
And that developed in another realm.
Right. And one other thing that is strange was at the age of 7 when I lived in Leominster, Massachusetts, that was the first encounter that I can remember or experience I can remember. I was out in the yard and I was in a little hut waiting for my friend to come over and play dolls with me, and I was eating some crackers. All of a sudden a bee came in. It was buzzing around me. I dropped the crackers thinking it was going to bite me. Instead, it turned like to a white ball of light, hit me in the forehead in between my eyes, and I felt it like bite, but stuck there, and I went down and like I almost like went out, and I could hear a voice speaking to me, and they said and it was a multiple voice, and it says, the wee little one is coming along fine. So Bob and I have often wondered, oh boy, I wonder if I was a hybrid. Who knows?
You are the wee little one that they loved, obviously.
Evidently.
And they were probably opening. I think so. I think they were opening up your inner vision to develop more spiritual gifts and awareness, so that this light that they were talking about, this inner light, which is probably our soul essence, which is eternal life for us. I mean, we're right now in a physical body and in a physical world, but these beings perhaps can live beyond this force, and they're very curious about how we're doing. Maybe they come to help us along the way with their wisdom and with their
because
knowledge.
They know that every soul on this earth is important, because we are created by God, and that's why each soul is where our life, that really is us. You know, that's the one that makes the decisions, you know, what to do or what to be, whatever. You know, our body is just a house we live in, and of course then the spirit lets us know which way to go.
Well, the fact is, when we do listen to our inner sense of knowing or wisdom, we often make better choices than when we're guided by our ego and our minds and illusions and fear and other nonsense. So let's look at this in other words. You had follow-up visits from these beings.
Yes.
And how do you think these experiences altered or damaged or enriched the rest of your life and that of your family? What can you tell us about that?
Well, I'm still at a loss for that question, because I know that, you know, I believe they were angels, but there is so much that I have so many questions of my own about why. It's very difficult to say. I know that they're here out of love, because God is love, and you know, the spirit is love.
And whether they're extraterrestrials and another life force or angels, they are if they are part of the eternal universal
Amen.
Field of creation. And I want to say something here. Some of your description in the book of being transported and being way up in the air, I'm reading some of your words, and seeing water and land mist all around everything, blending into green plants, fish, birds, and a pyramid, and off to the side, a city like you've never seen. To me, it sounds like near-death experiences. I have interviewed many, many people, and I, as a medium, go to higher consciousness and realms and see many beautiful visions where people experience going to these different realms as they head towards the highest point of light, which is the divine or spirit. And Betty, you also said on your return trip, you were placed in a strange seat, different from the others, and your body jumped violently two times like you received electric shocks.
Almost like when they took me back.
When you had some, it's like when they have somebody with cardiac arrest and shock the heart back.
Oh.
So maybe before you would return to your family, Quasga had to, well, I know, he put his hands on your shoulder and he said to you, with love, child, you must forget for a while. And you felt an aura of friendliness emanating from your captors.
Oh, yeah.
And they allowed you to remain calm and eased any discomfort. But, of course, some of it was a little strange for you. You were young, and it wasn't easy. And they didn't really, like, you spoke to your daughter, and you explained everything to her to validate the experience. They didn't quite give you that same emotion because maybe it's not part of their being.
That's right. I think you are right on,
All right. But they did the best they could. And here you are with the truth and your wonderful story and a wonderful family. And Bob, someone who can share your journey in life now.
I am so grateful to have Bob.
I am sure.
It is
a great blessing to have someone who understands everything you've been through, too.
And he could tell you of his childhood experience, very close to what happened with me with the light.
I'm sure. I'm sure they were. And that's why you were brought together. You were good twin soulmates. I want to thank you both for sharing your amazing interaction with those beings of infinite intelligence and the message they ultimately left you with when they said, and this is from the book, farewell. For more information and to purchase The Andreasen Affair by Raymond Fowler, go to newpagebooks.com or amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode, we have shared Betty and Bob's personal account of their experience with what they decidedly hope are the universal emissaries of light, and hope for a more cooperative way for all beings to interact, which most of our religious and spiritual belief systems guide us to discover. Whether we think in terms of angels, messengers, spiritual teachers, guides, or extraterrestrials, the hope should be for all of us to learn how to live cooperatively and in a higher state of consciousness and awareness for co-creating with all life forces the highest good for all. And in the book, Quasga, the extraterrestrial, repeats a message to Betty, which I believe is for all of us to contemplate. He says, your race, Betty, won't believe me until much time has passed. They love the human race. They have come to help the human race, and unless man will accept, he will not be saved. He will not live. All things have been planned. Love is the greatest of all. They do not want to hurt anybody, but because of great love, they cannot let man continue in the footsteps that he is going. It is better to lose some than to lose all. They have technology that man could use, but it is through the spirit man will not search out that portion. Man must understand many of the natural things on earth. If man will just study nature itself, he will find many of the answers he seeks. Man will find them through the spirit. Man is not just of flesh and blood. Those that are pure of heart, that seek earnestness, will be given. Energy is around, all around man, within the atmosphere provided for him. Many riddles will be given. Those that are wise will understand. Those that seek will find. Those who are not afraid and move past corruption will be astonished at the world community that we can build with the awareness of these thoughts from our friends of the universe. We would hope all listeners look to the skies above to know that there is wisdom and love beyond what we can perceive at this time. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear the many authors who lead the way to actually facilitate the thinking necessary to reach a higher state of love, so necessary in these challenging times to conquer the fears and misbeliefs that hold the world back from realizing our immense potential for success. Thank you very much.
Thank you.